Okay, Hatzameya again, Shabbat Shalom. And today our message is called The Manna in the Shemitah. The Manna in the Shemitah. And as we talked about many times, the Shemitah is for Yah providing for His people if they obey and believe in faith in His provisions. So that's the important part, but you have to expect it. Like anything else in faith, you know, faith is expectation. That's what it is. It's belief. So if you're not believing, then you don't have the faith of it. So I want to start in Exodus 16, verse 11. Exodus 16 and verse 11. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, between the evenings you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be satisfied with bread. And you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. And it happened in the evening, the quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, a layer of dew was around the camp. And the layer of dew went up, and behold, something small was on the face of the wilderness, scale-like, small like the hoarfrost on the earth. And the sons of Israel looked, and they said, each one to his brother, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which Yahweh has given to you for food. This is the thing which Yahweh commanded, gather from it, each one according to the mouth of his eating, an omer for a head. By the number of your souls you shall take for each man who is in your tent. And so the sons of Israel did, and they gathered, and the one gathering much, and the one gathering little. And they measured with an omer, and the one gathering much did not have too much, and the one gathering little did not have any need. Each one had gathered according to the mouth of his eating. And Moses said to them, do not let anyone leave from it until morning. And they did not listen to Moses, and some left from it until morning, and it became rotten with maggots and stunk. And Moses was angry against them. And they gathered it in the morning, each one in the morning, according to the mouth of his eating. And it melted in the heat of the sun. And it came about on the sixth day they gathered double bread, two omers for one. And all the leaders of the congregation came and reported to Moses. And he said to them, that is what Yahweh said, tomorrow is a rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. What you will bake, bake, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that is left over to keep it until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, and no maggot was found in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. You shall gather it 6 days, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath. In it none shall be found. And on it, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather and did not find any. And Yahweh said to Moses, until when will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Behold, because Yahweh has given you the Sabbath to you, therefore he is giving to you 2 days of bread on the sixth day. Each one of you remain in his place. Do not let anyone go out from his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day in the house of Yahweh, and the house of Israel called its name Manna. And it was like the seed of coriander white, and its taste was like cakes of honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded, fill an omer of it to keep it for your generation, so that they may see the bread which I caused you to eat in the wilderness, as I brought you out from the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take one pitcher and put there the fullness of an omer of manna and deposit it before Yahweh to keep for your generations. Even as Yahweh commanded Moses, Aaron laid it up before the testimony to keep it. And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until their coming into the inhabited land. They ate the manna until their coming to the border of the land of Canaan. So I was thinking about it, and you could see a lot of similarities between the manna and the Shemitah, right? You know, it's a Shemitah year. You're not supposed to go out and plant. You're not supposed to harvest and whatnot. And the same thing here. You know, they had 6 days to go out and to get the manna. But on the seventh day, they weren't to get the manna, but Yahweh provided the manna. Because how are we going to get the manna? Because every other day, if you left the manna until the next day, it would rot. You couldn't even keep it one day. And yet on Shabbat, it didn't rot. It was kept over. So we see the same way, and I've seen it in Israel, where farmers who did not keep Shemitah, we had brittle bad winter, and the winter came and destroyed all of their crop anyway. So it was as if they didn't even plant. And yet people that didn't plant, after the winter, you know, the real bad frost came, stuff that must have been there from the year before or the year before that came up from nowhere. So the ones who didn't plant got the food. The ones who did plant got nothing. So we see the same thing. Yahweh's miracle for his people. Numbers 11 and verse 7. And remember, the manna was all their food. The same way in the Shemitah. You know, basically it's all our food. Numbers 11 and verse 7 says, and the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance was like the look of bellium resin gum. And the people went around and gathered it and ground it in mills to beat it in mortars and boil it in pans and make it into cakes. And its taste was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew came down on the camp by night, the manna came down on it. So this was everything, right? It was for food. It was grounded, boiled, beat, and it tasted like fresh oil. It was basically for all their food that was doing. In the same way, when we look at the Shemitah, right, what do we have to do? You have to vacuum seal, you could can, you could jar, you could take that fresh vegetables and fruit before the Shemitah starts, and you could make it into all kinds of things. Fruit you could dry, you know, you could dry the fruit, you know, and dehydrate it, all the different things that we see. Yehoshua 4th chapter, because what happens? We know when they come into the promised land, though, the manna stops. Yehoshua 4 in verse 15. And Yahweh spoke to Yehoshua, saying, order the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they may rise out of the Jordan. And Yehoshua commanded the priests, saying, rise out of the Jordan. And it happened when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh had come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the feet of the priests who had lifted up to the dry land, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And the 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan were raised up in Gilgal by Yehoshua. And he spoke to the sons of Israel, saying, when your sons ask your fathers hereafter, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall make your sons knowing, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, because Yahweh your Elohim dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until you crossed over as Yahweh your Elohim did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before you until we crossed over. So that all the people of the land shall know that the hand of Yahweh is strong, so that you may fear Yahweh your Elohim all the days. So we see Israel crosses into the promised land. Then what happens in the next chapter? Chapter 5 and verse 6. For the sons of Israel had walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who had come out of Egypt, were consumed, those who did not listen to the voice of Yahweh, to whom Yahweh had sworn to them not to show them the land which Yahweh sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. These were consumed. You know, and I think about going back in the days of Church of God. You know, because back then, in the 70s and the 80s, they really believed we were also very close to the end time. And here we are, 40 years later, and most of them died. You know, they died in the wilderness, you could sort of say, although they really never got to the wilderness. But you see how here, you know, all those people that were disobedient, that weren't being obedient to Yahweh, they didn't make it. None of them made it. Now we drop down to verse 10. And the sons of Israel camped in Gilgal and prepared the Passover in the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. And they ate the old grain of the land on the next day after the Passover. Why did they eat the old grain of the land? They ate the old grain of the land because you can't eat the new grain until the Feast of First Fruits. Right? So it proves that it's not the Jewish counting, that the holy day is the day of First Fruits. And they ate the old grain of the land, and the next day after the Passover, unleavened bread and roasted grain the same day. And the manna ceased on the next day after they ate of the old grain of the land. And there was no more manna to the sons of Israel, but they ate the produce of the land of Canaan in that year. So, wow. You know, I look at this in Scripture, and I think this really had to be a mixed day of gladness and sorrow. Because in one way, right, they're in the promised land. Wow, they finally made it. After 40 years, they're there in the promised land. But in another way, Yahweh, you know, like a parent to a child, took them 40 years in every single day You know, the way that a mother would feed her baby, Yahweh fed these people. And now that's stopped. So, you know, I look at it, if anybody's a parent, and you ever had a child, it could be a male or female, it doesn't make a difference. When they're leaving the house, right? And they're at their age where they're getting married, you're really, really happy because now they're a man or a woman and they're going on their own. They're going to start their own family. But there's always that kind of like, you know, deepness in your soul that feels a little sorrow because one is leaving, you know, the camp. So it's a day of gladness, but it's also a day of sorrow. And this is what they must have felt. Because like I said, 40 years, every day, Yahweh taking care of them, Yahweh providing that. And now the day it stopped. Leviticus 25. But Yahweh said, you know what? Don't get too upset. Don't get too upset. You know why? Because every seventh year we're going to go back to the manor. I don't want to make you that sad. I want my people to understand what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Every seventh year we're going to go back to the manor. Leviticus 25. And Yahweh spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I am giving to you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall sow your field 6 years, and you shall prune your vineyard 6 years, and you shall gather its produce. And in the seventh year will be a Sabbath of rest to the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall not sow your field, you shall not prune your vineyard, you shall not reap that which grows of itself in the harvest, and you shall not gather the grapes of your unkept vine. It is a year of rest of the land. And why? Why aren't you harvesting? Because verse 6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be food to you, to your male slave, to your female slave, to your hired one, to your tenant, those living among you, to your livestock, and to the animal of the land, and all the produce shall be for food. So the same way we see with the manna, right? It didn't matter how much manna you gained, nobody had too much, and it didn't matter how little, nobody had too little. And that's the point of the Shemitah year. That's the whole reason why you're not harvesting. There's nothing wrong with harvesting the crops. You're simply not harvesting to let them go throughout the year, to let not only your family eat, but other families. You know? So that's why Yahweh says, you can eat it, just don't take it all down that nobody else will get it. So it's very similar to the way that the manor was in the wilderness. Everyone was equal, everyone had food, nobody was lacking. So that's, again, our mindset in the 21st century, you know, because we're not living like the Israelites did, right? There's somehow that we're thinking that Shemitah is a time of taking away. It's a time of sacrifice. It's a time of getting less, and it really isn't. It has nothing to do with that. You're going to get double of what you get every other time, any other time, and you don't even have to work for it. So how would you like if you had a boss and he said, okay, you know what? You make $500 every week and you unload all of these big trucks and these sacks and you do all this work. I'll tell you what. Every seventh year, I'll give you double your salary. So instead of making $30,000 a year, you're making $60,000 a year and you don't have to do any of the work. Would you be like, oh, that seventh year is coming. Wow. Boy, this is a real sacrifice that I don't have to go out and sweat every day and do all that work. No, it's the word would really is sacrifice, karban. Because karban is not giving up, it's drawing closer to through relationship. And that's what Shemitah is. There's nothing we're giving up in the Shemitah. We're living better, we're eating better, we're doing better, we're having double or triple of what we ever have in any other year. We simply don't have to do the work ourselves. So, that's why the Shemitah year, we have to just change our viewpoint. Now drop down in chapter 25, drop down to verse 18. And you shall do my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and shall do them, and shall live on the land securely. And the land shall give its fruit, and you will eat to satisfaction. You will eat to satisfaction, and you will dwell securely on it. And when they say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? For lo, we may not sow nor gather our increase. Then I have commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it will produce the increase for 3 years. And you will sow the eighth year, and you will eat of the old crop until the ninth year, and until the coming of its crop, you shall eat of the old. Wow. So like I said, it's not giving up. It's getting triple of what you had before. But you have to believe. You have to believe. Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and verse 14. Matthew 14 Matthew 14 and verse 14. Because the same way the children of Israel, they had to believe every day that Yahweh was going to provide the manna, right? They had to believe when they went outside looking that it was going to be there. And it's the same way that we have to believe. Matthew 14 and verse 14. And going out, Yeshua saw a great crowd and was filled with pity toward them. And he healed their diseases. And even in coming, his disciples came near to him saying, the place is deserted and the hour is already gone by. Dismiss the crowds that are going away into the villages, they may buy food for themselves. But Yeshua said to them, they have no need to go away. You give them food to eat. But they said to him, we have nothing here except 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? So the same thing. What will we eat in the 7th year? And this is what they're saying. How will we feed them? What do you mean give them food? Food from where? And look what he says. And he said, bring them here to me. And commanding the crowds to recline on the grass and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, gazing up to the heaven, he blessed and breaking, he gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples gave to the crowds. And they ate and were satisfied and they took up the remnant of the fragments, 12 baskets full, right? Complete government. And the ones eating were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So we could really equate this the same with the Shemitah. You know, that when the people are asking, what are they going to eat? Yahweh provides. Who would have ever thought 5 loaves and 2 fish can provide for that many thousands of people? But the one thing you got to remember with the Shemitah, and this is the same that was with the manna, Yahweh provided daily as the people needed it. That's the whole point of it. It's to trust in Him daily. It's that every day we're trusting in Him, right? So that's where the miracle comes in, whether it was the manna, or whether it's the Shemitah, it's the same thing. That's what he says. All the fruit is out there. All the food is on the trees. You can eat as much as you want each day. Just leave some for the next day, for somebody else too. So it was that Yahweh was going to provide for them daily. Do we believe that? You know, or do we need, right? We're living in the time now, and it's a little bit of a contradiction because in the day we live in now, we are preparing for the year, because we know we can't get this or we can't get that. But that's not the point of the Shemitah. We may be preparing in faith, and that's fine. We did too. The point of the Shemitah is trusting Yahweh daily. Matthew 6 and verse 7. The Master's Prayer. He says, and when you pray, you should not be chatterers like the pagans, for they hope that by many words they will be heard. Then do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need before you ask Him. So that you should pray this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven, also on the earth. Give us the bread of our need this day. Right? And I hope to some form or another, all of us are praying this every day. Maybe not as a prayer word for this, but this is the outline of all our prayers. This is the way we pray, the outline of it. So we're not praying to say, Father, give me for next month, and give me for the next 7 years, and give me for the next 20 years. Give us this day. That's all we need. This day, right? Because we don't know if we'll be there tomorrow. So why are we worried about tomorrow, and the next day, and next year, and 10 years, and 20 years, when He says, give us this day? And I'll tell you, in our life, I know the times in my life that my faith was the strongest was the times we lived in Jerusalem, and we had absolutely nothing. We had nothing. We didn't even have money. It was $7 a day to pay for our room, and we didn't even have it. And we had to trust in Yahweh to provide. And yet, at the same rate, we never thought about it. We never sat there worrying where we're going to get the money. How's it going to work? It just worked. In the beginning, we did. But once we saw, just like the manna, I'm sure in the beginning with the manna, right? They went out the second day and the third day. But I'm sure by the second, the third, the fourth year, they didn't even think about it anymore. They just went out and got it. Because once your faith gets strong, you're expecting it. And that's why I say, don't short yourself this Shemitah. Expect the blessing. If you've been faithful, expect the blessing. You know, expect it. But the blessing is day by day. That's what Yahweh's blessing is. What you need today. And if you have what you need today, right? If you have clothes on your back, we have a room here, and we have food to eat, why do we have to worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow may never even come. That's the point of it, to trust in Yahweh daily. That's the point of the manna, and it's the point of the Shemitah. And that's why we don't harvest, so that we can trust in him every day. We pray for that. Luke 12 and verse 16. Luke, the 12th chapter, and verse 16. And you know, even though we do prepare for the Shemitah, you don't eat all the stuff you prepare, right? You know? You don't do it that way. Like I said, in my house, we said, okay, say we have, we bought 12 jars of pickles for the Shemitah. Every month we'll use a jar. We're not just going to use all 12 jars in the first month and then we're out of food. You know, so we are doing it like the manna, that you have a jar a month. Once that's gone, we wait till the next month. You spread your food out because that's what it is. Give us today our daily needs. And that's what we should be looking for. We should be looking, preparing for our daily needs. Luke 12 and verse 16. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, a certain rich man produced well from the land. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what may I do? For I have nowhere I may gather my fruits. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, and I will build larger, and I will gather there all my produce and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be glad. But Elohim said to him, fool, your soul will be required from you in this night, and that which you prepared, to whom will it be? Such is he who lays up treasures for himself and does not abound in Elohim, right? So you could stock up for yourself for the next 20 years, you know, and that's why I keep saying we're not preppers. We're not preppers. And I know for most of the brethren, as well as for us, because Yahweh is moving us around. We are wanderers, you know, without a land. And as Yahweh does that, everything we prepared for Shemitah, in 2 weeks from now, we might not be able to use it. But somebody will. Somebody will be able to use it. So I have no problem. I said this for years. If I'm on my way to Thailand on a plane and I'm in that airport and a messenger of Yahweh tells me, go in the other direction over here to Cuba, I'll be on the other plane. Wherever Yahweh sends, I go. I never question. I never ask. I just listen. That's the bottom line of it. So we want to make sure we're not becoming preppers. Whether it's Shemitah, whether it's war, whether it's whatever, yes, we're preparing because of faith. That's why we're preparing, because we believe it. And Yahweh says to prepare. There's nothing wrong with it. But we don't want to get a prepper mindset. We don't want to think that it's these physical things that are going to get us through the end time. Because at the end of the day, we've got to find the manna. And the manna can only come from Yahweh. And that comes day by day. You know, there wasn't manna trees and manna fields that you can go and bring it for the winter. The manna only comes day by day. And we have to make sure we have that mindset. He says, for such as he who lays up treasures for himself and does not abound in Elohim. And he said to his disciples, because of this I say to you, not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, or what as to the body, what you will put on. The life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they do not sow, nor do they reap, to which there is no storehouse or barn, and Yahweh feeds them. How much rather you differ from the birds? And who of you, being anxious, is able to add one cubit to its stature? That if you are not able to do even the least, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin. But I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. But if Elohim so dresses the grass today in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much rather you of little faith? And you, do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or let your mind be disturbed by these things, right? And that's why last Shemitah, when he only showed us how to keep it a week before it started, so we wouldn't do this. The first one he wanted us to learn, it's about faith, it's about manner, it's about daily. This time, though, we know better. So like I said, I'm not diminishing the fact that we're supposed to prepare for this. What I'm saying is we're preparing in faith. We're not preparing as preppers. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you have need of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh, and all these things will be added to you. And I'll tell you a short story, because when we went down, when we first left Babylon, we went down to Honduras, and we didn't know. We had no plans on going to Israel. It was never our plan. Yahweh took us there, and Yahweh changed things, but that was up to him. We went to Honduras, but we knew the day would come that Yahweh was going to gather his people to Jerusalem. We just didn't know when. So we went down with a 40-foot container, and we brought food, we brought everything for at least 10 years, because we didn't know when the thing would happen. And there were people that were contacting us after we were down there saying, hey, you know, we heard there's a group there, can we come? And people that were with us, some of them that I knew like family, were saying, I didn't prepare for everybody. I don't have enough food for everybody. I'm not sharing. And I was shocked. The human nature that I saw down there, I was like, wow, you know. And the scripture Yahweh gave me, depart you, depart you, leave this place. It is not your resting place. And it was like, it's time to go. But I saw the worst side of human nature by people that, you know, when they perceived that things were going to get bad and they weren't going to have enough food. And that's why, like I said, I hope all of us are preparing more for people on the outside than for ourselves. Because you never know. You never know who may come in. I know in Africa we're preparing because we may have to, there's already famine starting there. And we may have to feed countries. Never mind congregations, countries. So we're trying to prepare for that in faith because we believe in the word of Yahweh. But not doing, like I said, in a prepper mind, set like it says here, because these are what the nations seek. They're worried. What are they going to eat? What are they going to drink? The Shemitah can be the greatest blessing of our life if we have our priorities straight and we're seeking the kingdom first. And we're going to see this. It's a spiritual rejuvenation before a physical one. If we go to John 4 and verse 31, John the 4th chapter in verse 31. And this is what Yeshua with the Samaritan woman at the well, and he's saying, but in the meantime, the disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said, I have food to eat which you do not know. Then the disciples said to one another, no one brought him food to eat. And Yeshua said to them, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me, and that I may finish his work. Right? This is the will of Yahweh. Do not say, after 4 months comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, that they are white and ripened for the harvest already. So this is after Shavuot. And the only time that there would be fields of harvest after Shavuot that are white and weren't picked would be in a Shemitah year. So clearly we see this, that this is a Shemitah year. And yet Yeshua is saying, don't wait for 4 months for the physical harvest for your spiritual harvest, right? That's what he's telling them. That in a Shemitah year, yes, you can harvest. Yes, you have to wait till after the next Yom Teruah. But spiritually, you could harvest everything. You can plant, you can water, you can seed, you know, you can prune, and you can harvest your spiritual seeds. And that's what he's telling the people here, right? And then look at verse 36. You have to look for the spiritual harvest now. And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit unto life that is eternal. And the sower and the reaper together will rejoice. For this is the word is true, that another is the one sowing and another is the one reaping. I have sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Right? We know that. It's a relay race. And we know that Yahweh's congregation started in 30 AD. And we know that there were Paulicians and Albigensians, you know, and all the different people, the wilderness, the Waldenses and the Anabaptists and the different groups. And here we are, and we are in their labor that we didn't plant. But now we are the last ones, you know, not only us, but Yahweh's people around the world, that now we are the ones to harvest what other people's put seeds to, because we're all working in it together. We're all looking to bear fruit together. So the Shemitah is not just about resting land, but about having time for a spiritual harvest of Yahweh. And that's the whole reason, because most people were farmers in that day, that he had it that way. More than even just resting the land and resting the dirt for nutrients, the main thing was, like Shabbat, is resting the people so they can have a spiritual year, so they can regenerate their relationships with Yahweh and with man. Matthew 4 in verse 23, we'll see this. And that's why so many people were able to come. Why were there thousands of people on the Sermon on the Mount, right? In the middle of a week, when people are usually out harvesting their fields and working, right? Because it was Shemitah. Because it was Shemitah, and not everybody, again, keeps the Shemitah. So there were people out there. You know, I say, you know, a woman comes home and it's like, Isaac, you're not going to believe what I heard today. There was a man out there preaching things that you'd never believe. Can't worry about that, Martha. Gotta go back to the field. There's work to do. Don't need that nonsense. Of course it would have been Hebrew Aramaic. Just using the English accent for, you know, emphasis here. But that's the way it would have been. The ones who were actually taking this serious and putting that time to Yahweh, you know, were blessed multiple. And that's why I say this could be the greatest year in your life. But it's really up to you. It's not just going to happen. The same way the manna didn't fall into their tents, they had to go out and they had to gather the manna. You have to go out. If you want to be blessed this year, then you have to go out and you have to gather. You have to put those seeds out. You know, you have to bring the good news to people. Because this year, I believe, will be the greatest harvest of the people of Yahweh from any year up until now. Because we're getting toward the end. And remember, there's a famine of the word that's coming. And that's coming shortly. And when that famine comes, none of us will work. You know, so this may be our last chance. And later, and I thought about that during COVID. Because the year before COVID, I took 7 mission trips. I was going almost all year long. And yet when COVID came, I still felt like I didn't do enough. Like, oh, I can't believe it. You know, I wish I would have did more. Almost like the story with Schindler. You know, here's a guy who did everything, bankrupted himself, gave every penny of his money, right? And what happened? He actually did more than anybody. He saved Jewish life. And in the end, he cried. When he looked, that watch could have been 5 lives. You know, my car could have been 10 lives. We don't want to get to that point. And that's why I say, I pray that COVID woke each and every one of us up. When you're locked in your house, when you can't leave. Not for anything else but the work of Yahweh. That was the only thing I worried about. I didn't care about anything else. But I was sitting there saying, I got to get out of here and continue this work. And yet there's a time coming where no man will work. So take this time now. Take this open door. Take this year and give Yahweh everything you got. And you will only be blessed for it. There's nothing that you are going to lose. But in Matthew 4 and verse 23, what does it say? And Yeshua went around all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. And the report of him went out into all Syria. And they brought to him all the ones being badly ill, suffering various diseases and torments. Also those being demon-possessed and those being lunatics and paralytics. And he healed them. And many crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and beside Jordan. They came from everywhere. Matthew 5 and verse 1. But seeing the crowds, he went to the mountain and seating himself, his disciples came near to him. Why were these crowds coming? Because it was a Shemitah. And the ones who were being obedient, the ones who were giving that spiritual time to Yahweh. And like I said, it's the same as anything else. You know, there's many times where, you know, we have the discussions and nothing wrong with them about tzitzis and how long should they be and what color should they be and how should they be, you know, and all those things are fine and good. You know, we could have these discussions with many things in the Torah, but never forget, every law is there for the spiritual application first, you know. So it's fine for us to discuss the physical because we want to be as obedient as possible also in the physical, but don't lose sight and be so pharisaical in the physical. You know, like Shemitah, you know, am I able, you know, can I do this, can I do that? If something of this, you know, would really, really be trying to be so technical of it that you're missing the point of it. The point of it is to give you time to serve Yahweh. That's the point of the Shemitah. So yes, we want to be as obedient as possible, but don't lose the main point of it. Many came to receive spiritual food because they had no physical work. This Shemitah may be the greatest spiritual harvest since the first century. Will you be a part of it? Yahweh will provide for your daily needs. You need to work for the kingdom that is eternal, where moths don't corrupt. John 6 and verse 36. John 6 and verse 36. It says, but I have the greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me, that I should finish them, the works which I do themselves, witnessing concerning me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father, the one sending me, has himself borne witness concerning me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his appearance. And when it says you had neither heard, literally if you look that word up in both the Hebrew and Aramaic, it means listen to. Not necessarily heard it, but they haven't listened to it. And his word does not dwell in you because you do not believe in him whom he sent. You search the scriptures, for you think in them you have everlasting life, and they are the ones witnessing concerning me. And you will not... And you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Stop down to chapter 6 and verse 47. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one believing into me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread coming down out of heaven that anyone may eat of and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed, the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So the manna was only for physical substance. Yeshua is the bread to last forever. So in the Shemitah, which one do you want? Do you only want the food that lasts, you know, a day? Or do you want the food that lasts forever? Shemitah builds our faith to trust in Yahweh for our daily needs, spiritual and physical. In the world today, with people always having a coveting spirit, always worrying about the future, what they will have in their retirement accounts, in their IRAs, we need to be trusting in Yah for our daily needs, as his word says, not worrying about tomorrow. And Shemitah is a great gift from Yahweh every seventh year to remind us that he provided manna daily for his people in the wilderness, and he will provide for us daily if we believe in faith without doubting. So that, it really is faith-building to think. Like I said, it was a daily thing. Only on Shabbat did he give double blessing of the manna because they couldn't go out. He provided every single day. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. It says, do not treasure up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust cause to corrupt, and where thieves dig through to steal. But treasure up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust cause to corrupt, and where thieves do not dig through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24, no one is able to serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or will cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh in wealth. Because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious for your soul, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, what you will put on. Is life more than the food and the body more than clothing? So this is a great year to ask yourself these questions, right? And it's interesting because I don't know if you've ever had this problem, but we have from Les Shemitah and even, you know, just from storing war food and stuff. You know, we're using food now that we were storing in 2020. And we have a, you know, in our grain and our flour and our rice and our pasta, we do get moths. We do get bugs, you know. Some of it you could use, some of it you can't. Rice you could always clean out, you know, but things like pasta, they get corrupted. So you can go like the man who pulled down his barns and built bigger barns, right? You could be storing up 10 years of food, and that food could all be corrupted by bugs. And we have all the great ways, right? You know, you could use bay leaves, and you could use vacuum pack seals and all this stuff, but none of it guarantees you that the food is going to last. Only Yahweh. Only faith in Yahweh. That's the only guarantee we have. The same with the manna. You know, if they went out on the seventh day, the manna had maggots, you know. And we see that with a lot of times the fruit, like natural fruit, we're picking from our own trees. You know, and I say Yahweh has a good sense of humor. Because if you take a fig, you know, we have a lot of fig trees, and you open that fig, the maggot almost looks like the natural spurs in the fig. I'm thinking, well, Yahweh's got a good sense of humor. But you know what you got to do? You really got to sit there and look at it. You know, so it teaches us, you know, that you have to examine things to make sure. But my dad was with us one time, and he couldn't believe these figs were like the size of plums. And he's like, whoa, he's looking, he's eating it. And then I said, oh, by the way, just check them for maggots. All of a sudden, his face went down. He's like, you tell me now, you know, after I'm eating them? But, you know, some are and some don't. But you do have to check it. You know, it's the same way our spiritual life. We want to be checking our spiritual life, like the message we had yesterday on self-righteousness. You know, we want to be checking to make sure there's no maggots, not only in our physical food, but in our spiritual life. And like I said, the physical food, it's great to have, but it can get moths and bugs in our grain, our flour, our rice, our pasta. But in our spiritual life, we want to make sure it's pure. Revelation 22 and verse 10. Revelation 22 and verse 10. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is at hand. The one acting unjustly will continue to act unjustly, and he who is filthy will continue to be filthy, and to the righteous let him continue to be righteous, and he who is holy," or sanctified, kadosh, "let him continue to be kadosh. And behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each according to his work." And you know, even though in 40 years I've known this, again, COVID to me was a real game changer. Because in your mind, you just think, you hope, you wish that when it starts to happen, people will see it and they'll wake up. And when I saw it with COVID, that people weren't waking up, then I read the scripture. Whoever acts unjustly will continue to act unjustly. He who is filthy will continue to be filthy. He who is righteous will continue to be righteous. And that's where every day in my life now I pray to Yahweh and say, "Yahweh, thank you for allowing me to have eyes to see and ears to hear." Because physically, something happened physically that affected every person on this planet, and how few understood the reason for it. Even to the fact, not just the reason why it happened, but few even understood, not enough to take a death shot. So it's scary when you think about that, but this is the scripture. And that's scary, because then I got to look at my own life and I got to say, "Father, am I filthy or not?" Because I don't want to be blinded. I don't want to have self-righteousness. I don't want to sit here and be thinking I'm the person, and maybe I'm the Laodicean. And that's why every single one of us, this Shemitah, not pointing the finger at the next guy, but taking ourselves in our prayer closets and be looking and saying, "What do I need to change?" That's the gift that will be greater than any physical gift. For Yahweh to show each of us what in our life we need to change and what we need to get out. Because like I said, you know, the other day, when Elder Eric gave that message, just about all of us have it to some degree. So we have to figure out where we have these things, and we got to get rid of them. And this is the year. It's the year of release. This is the year where Yahweh says, Yeshua says, "If you are freed, you are free indeed." And this is the year to bank on that. This is the year to believe on that and expect it. If you're not expecting it, it's not going to happen. And the way it's going to happen is you have to put in diligence. You have to put in effort. You have to work at it. Sometimes when we have the Bible school, because many people that went to the Bible school, and it's a great Bible school and it is life-changing, but they'll tell other people, and people will, there's times that they'll come there to that Bible school just thinking that appearance alone will change you. And it won't. And you know what? Even that school won't change you. It'll only change you if you take those principles you learn and continue them in your life every single day of your life. And it's a struggle. And there is no pill to take. There is no antidote. The antidote is building diligence in your life, building faith in your life, trusting Yahweh, and doing it day in and day out. And then when the trials come and when the temptation comes, your spirit will be strong enough to get through it. And I notice in my life, whenever I made a mistake, because Yahweh says he'll never give you a trial without a way out of it, and I always look, whenever I made a mistake in my life and I think back what I could have did different, I see the exit ramp that I didn't take. Yahweh will always give it to you. But sometimes we're so blinded by our own spirit of anything, covetousness, fear, pride, whatever, you fill in the blank in your life, that we don't see the exit ramp. And then when problems happen, what happens? We start wanting to blame somebody else, even blaming Yahweh or whatever. But there is an exit ramp, and there's a big one this year, and it's called the Shemitah. This is the year to take it serious, pray, you know, fast, ask Yahweh what it is in your life you need to release and let it go. Get rid of it, because like I said, the years of harvest are few and far in between. I'm praying it's not just going to be this year, you know, because usually when the Shemitah is ended, what's the first thing you do? Harvest. So I'm hoping it's going to be at least till the Shemitah is over, but all these things are in Yahweh's hands. But the time is coming where there is going to be a famine of the word, and a time where we will not be working any longer as we are now. So your reward is based on what you do, how much fruit you are bearing. And this is a 3-for-1, you know, a 3-for-1 year. You know, you have yesterday we had 50% off. So we got double whatever you bought, you were able to get double. This is a 3-for-1 sale that's going on. Deuteronomy 8, a couple more scriptures will be finished. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. 1 through 10, you shall be watchful to do every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may live and may multiply and may go in and possess the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers. That's what it is in the end. We're all waiting for it. We're all waiting to go home. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has caused you to go these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to try you, to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. That's what the Shemitah is all about, right? And he has humbled you and caused you to hunger and caused you to eat the manna, which you had not known, and your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. And like our note says, bread sustains life, but it doesn't give life. Right? Bread sustains life, so we need food in the Shemitah, but it's Yahweh's Spirit that gives life. Like we say, Adam was a living soul, Yeshua was a life-giving spirit. Do we just want to be consuming things, or do we want to be giving life to others? Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. So, I joke sometimes because I have clothes that aren't 40 years old, but I do have clothes that are 30 years old that are like brand new. Sweaters and suits and all kinds of good things, you know. So we'll see. If I last, who knows? You never know. You might not last tomorrow. But I've seen this. I think about this being outside of Babylon, that Yahweh has done that. You know, he's kept us in all kinds of clothing that never has worn out. And you have known that your heart, with your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, Yahweh your Elohim disciplines you. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways, to fear him. For Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a good land, a land of streams of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, right? The seven fruits of the harvest. A land in which you shall eat bread without want, you shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and you shall dig copper out of the mountains. And you shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim in the good land which he has given to you. Drop down to verse 15. Who led you through the great and dreadful wilderness with burning serpent and scorpion and thirsty ground where no water is? Who brought you water out of the flinty rock? Who made you eat manna in the wilderness, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do you good at your latter end? Wow. So that you not saying your heart, my power and the might of my hand have made this wealth for me. So the same way now, we don't know, you know, the Shemitah year will be different, maybe in a good way. Eating different, getting different things, but we want to make sure whatever Yahweh is providing for us daily, that's our manna that day. You know, and it's going to be different, but that's what he's going to do. The Shemitah is a test of faith, just like the manna was. Last scripture is Revelation 2 and the beginning of verse 17. Revelation 2 and the beginning of verse 17. It says, the one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations, right? The one that has an ear, we want to make sure that we're not deaf to this. Like it talks about in Isaiah, we have an ear. To the one overcoming, I will give him to eat from the hidden manna. So the manna's not over, right? And we know it. In the wilderness, we see it like Sela. How is Yahweh going to provide food in the wilderness? By the hidden manna. He will provide again the hidden manna. He says it right here. To the one who's overcoming, you know, he will provide the hidden manna. So we want to make sure that we're open to that. We want to see this year what that hidden manna is going to be. You know, like I said, I'm excited to just see what's going to be growing out of the land there that I didn't plant, that Yahweh's hidden manna. And we want to see all the different things that Yahweh is going to provide. Those who are faithful and trusting in Yah daily for their needs, Yahweh will provide hidden manna in the end time. The last Shemitah, we had hundreds of tomatoes growing near the curb that we never planted. And they didn't come up before, but they were just growing out there. We never planted. I said, we were away on a mission trip a couple of months. We came back, we opened up our refrigerator, and we literally had potatoes growing on a line. I thought it was a snake at first. I opened the refrigerator and I see this long, I'm like, whoa, what is that? And potatoes were growing out of the refrigerator from nowhere. You know, miracle. But Yahweh did it. During that time, last time when we were in Israel, we gleaned grapefruit, avocado, figs, bananas, olives, even kiwi. First time I ever had kiwi there. But we were out with our group, and we were touring up in the north. And again, they let you go in the fields, and anything that's on the ground you could take. And we got bags of kiwi that were there. Oranges, all kinds of things. And even this year, you know, Yom Teruah, the first day the Shemitah started, and like I said, me and Mariah usually take a Sabbath walk, and we went on a road we never went on before, and we found 40 to 50 brand new almond trees filled with old almonds that are there. So praise Yahweh. That's another Shemitah blessing, and it's just beginning. So Yahweh has many things. Last time Yahweh only shared about how to properly keep it just before the Shemitah began, and he did many miracles and blessings like the manna in the wilderness to provide for his people. So last time he wanted us to understand it, and if he would have told us beforehand, human beings, we'd be trying to do it all on our own. But he did it that way to show us, you know, that it's by faith. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh, and it's by faith that we're learning these things. But this time now, it's also responsibility. Now that we know, we should be preparing. But now we know better, and too much is given, much is expected, and we need to, I hope we prepared in faith to show that we believe in the word of Yahweh. Also that we can help others who couldn't prepare or maybe new in the faith. If there's a great harvest coming, that means there'll be brethren coming that haven't prepared, and we're going to have to share with them. We're not hoarding food for self-preservation. Like I said, we're not preppers, but we're storing in faith to allow Yahweh's blessing in us for the hard time ahead. Many of the ones who came to faith in the first century were those who dedicated the Shemitah to Yahweh and were looking for spiritual food, not physical food. Like anything in faith, we must do our part and prepare, but the most important key is trust in Yahweh to provide for us as he did for the children of Israel in the wilderness. The Shemitah is the greatest time to grow in faith, if you have eyes to see. Yahweh bless. Hatzamah.